Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're in Grab Bag, so Ryan picked the movie The Killing Joke, made in 2016. We're doing Ray Donovan for our television pick, and we bring you movie news. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. Hello! The Killing Joke, and here's the description. As Batman hunts for the escaped Joker, the clown prince of crime attacks the Gordon family to prove a diabolical point, mirroring his own fall into madness. Before we start, this is the voice actors I grew up with, well, at least two of them.
Yeah, you've got Kevin Conroy,
who to me is the voice of Batman, and Mark Hamill, who...
Joker.
Let's face it. There's no other Joker. Rest in peace, Heath Ledger. Doesn't compare to Luke Skywalker here.
Actually, I don't know. I think he did the best rendition.
This is the cast that people would have rioted if they didn't pick.
Oh, yeah. Especially on this one. The one thing I was really surprised, and I don't think I read the comic book when it came out, was it humanized the Joker. I didn't think you could do that to that character.
Well, it attempted an origin story, but even the attempts, you know, like he says, like he always preferred his past to be multiple choice, you know.
Yeah,
I was just really surprised at the end of this movie. I'm kind of skipping around here. Was the very end, the conversation between Batman and the Joker was probably my favorite part of this movie, when the Batman basically said, "I'll help you," more or less, and he's like, "It's too late for me, man."
Yeah.
I was like, what? No maniacal laughter?
To me, okay, I think the biggest thing we got to talk about is anybody who's ever read the book or the comic book, like it's 100-something pages. Anyway, anybody who's ever read the 29-page book is sort of familiar with exactly how really true to form they kind of kept, you know, sort of the last half of the movie. I mean, we obviously knew they weren't going to do a 25-minute killing joke. They had to make it somehow worth it.
Yeah.
I, for one, am really glad they just added to the beginning and then got into the killing joke as the time went on without doing flashbacks and all that kind of bullshit. Here's where our opinions might start different. A lot of people right now are kind of like, I mean, it's split everybody down the middle for what happened between Babs and Bruce in the first half.
Yeah.
I actually, that didn't bother me. I actually liked the way that happened. I thought that was a perfect way to introduce the Oracle, which is a character that, oddly enough, not a lot of people know.
Well, the Killing Joke itself, the book introduced Oracle, but I'm mostly talking about, you know, between her and Bats getting it on.
Yeah, the sex part.
What was it? There's previous. The Batman Beyond actually talked about their trisk. And the Return of the Joker.
Yeah.
I don't remember that part.
No, what it is there was the old Barbara Gordon, who's now the police chief, and Terry were talking. And this is where she talked about what happened to Dick Grayson and the other Robin.
Tim.
So they talked about how the reason why she stayed. It was kind of alluded to, but...
Yeah. It was quite a bit alluded to, but I mean, it was one of those things that you could have taken or left. And I thought it was something that was kind of, I mean, I understand that it was trying to be told kind of from the viewpoint of Barbara Gordon / the Oracle in that section, but I think they kind of took it a little far, that they kept kind of going where she's kind of like trying to get him to not make it weird.
What do you mean?
It seemed like there was a little bit more of her trying to be like, okay, so what's next for us, you know, type thing. And you know, I mean, you got to know if you're going to have something with Bruce Wayne / Batman, it's not going to go anywhere.
Well, I kind of liked Batman's kind of summary statement on that is like, this to you is still the game. You've never been to the abyss. And that's where I really liked where she quit being Batgirls, when she realized, unlike Bruce Wayne, she knew that she may not live through it, where Batman somehow always, besides the Joker, was always knew where his line was. I think that's why Batman wanted to talk to Joker, was kind of the reason how he found out what he escaped, was he didn't want to cross that line, and he knew with the Joker, he would have no choice.
Yeah, I mean, there's that section, as Ryan was talking about at the beginning, where they're sitting there, and he's talking to the Joker, and he basically says, you know, this is going to end with one of us killing the other one. This, yeah. It's going to happen. It's just, I can help you get out of this. Let's not go there.
And this was created by probably two of the most legendary Batman people, being Moore and Bolland. These are two, pretty much, if I remember correctly, this is the pinnacle of what a lot of people consider the revitalization of the character.
Oh, Brian Bolland?
Yeah, you know, far as...
Elmore and...
Because Batman, I think, kind of got cliched. I think the 60s kind of tarnished the image.
Yeah.
And then the 80s...
The 60s tarnished the image for the multimedia aspect. You know, the people who were still into the books, I mean, you know, shit, ever since the early to mid-80s, they've been kind of crushing stories like this. And this was, what, 90-something?
This is 88.
Was it 88 that this was written?
The comic book was in 1988.
Wow. No kidding. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you're right. During the 70s, they actually killed off Tim. But I do think this is kind of, maybe it's just the revitalization for non-comic book people.
I think.
This was kind of like the comic book second coming, where people were realizing, hey, these are quality stories.
Well, I think if what you're saying is, you know, this is coming for somebody who, you know, isn't familiar with the comics, I could see where they wouldn't like it, because there's a lot of slow, dry moments where it's giving you more background into the psychology of Batman and those around Batman, and not really all action and let's just see, do it bat pap zowl.
This is what I liked. I loved the noir aspect, the gothic storytelling.
But I'm saying, you know, it could be a little slow for somebody who is maybe just a fan of the 90s Batman.
I would say these are people who are a fan not of the comic book, but of the movies. And not the cartoon movies. I'm talking about the live-action movies.
If you're a live-action movie fan and you come into this one, you're not going to be very pleased.
Because I'm thinking, because if you watch the live-action, they're boom, 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 boom. This is more like boom.
Well, and the comics, especially sort of since mid-80s, have gained the reputation not just as pretty pictures, you know, but like these really incredibly done stories that you couldn't do on mainstream television or movies, you know, at least until pre-release.
I think only now I would almost say since Game of Thrones came out that you... Or a little bit before that, you'd be able to tell this story. Do you think so?
I think Walking...
I think people's sensibilities changed once we saw kind of Batman Begins.
I'll give you that.
But and I mean, that's really even just for comic books in general. People just didn't look at comic books like that, or at least the general public.
Well, you know, I would even say if we, because that would be our generation, the ones that were introduced to the darker Batman, where there's more good story in the 90s Batman.
I would say reintroduced to the darker Batman.
Yeah.
Because the character was originally had a more darker-esque feel to it. I think our version was the return of the detective, the brooding hero.
Yeah.
You know?
And then,
the guy, you know, smarter than everybody else in the room, not just the guy who's going to punch the shit out of you.
I did want to bring up a comment that James talked about. This was the Joker talking about
I talked about something,
yes, believe it or not, you know, about the comment about memory. This is the comment from the Joker. It says, memory is so treacherous. One moment you're lost in a carnival delight, childhood aromas, the flashing neon of puberty, all that settlement candy floss. Next it takes you somewhere you don't want to be. I think that kind of describes the Joker character in a nutshell. But Batman, too. I think that's one of the reasons I think we love this, is they're yin and yang.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's why, I mean, this is his arch villain. You know, he's got sort of one rule, you know, Batman, that is. And Joker, I mean, we talked about this 1,000 times, wants to have him break that rule, wants to show him that they're really only a hair apart from each other.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really true. The only thing that separates him and a Joker and Batman is the fact that Batman doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also did like the backstory of the Joker. I thought that little legend coming out was kind of a nice little touch in this one.
Yeah.
And
like
how he
legend too.
Took on the Red Hood and things like that and where that all that came from.
See, what was it? There was another Batman movie, and I think it was Mask of the Phantasm, where he talked about the Joker. It showed the Joker being a gangster and something went wrong. It was when he was one of Sal's boys, if you actually know the story. I liked this version a little bit better. It wasn't that the Joker was some badass to begin with. He was just a down on the luck guy who life went sideways on him. I actually thought that fit the character a little bit better.
Yeah, I did too. I thought the whole thing with his wife and all that kind of stuff, and you know, the motivation was a little bit made more sense. And
I
liked the fact that they kept the lore of him falling into the vat. I mean, you really can't change that.
I did, however, not think it was as sad as watching your parents being murdered in front of you.
No.
I mean, so that part was kind of like, okay, it's sad. I'd be horrified if that happened to me. But on the other hand, it's not like you're a six-year-old boy watching your parents get murdered.
Yeah, I mean, do you think Bruce Wayne ever bought pearls for any girlfriend?
I have no comment because
just put
it's
that out there, you know.
This is kind of a family show-ish.
I wasn't.
When did that happen?
I mean, yeah, you and Ryan cuss more than anybody else.
Say, man, I'm going to start just kind of lacing in here and you
okay.
know, just to earn that rating.
Go.
No,
so this guy walks into a talent agency.
Jeez.
We'll do that movie next week.
It involves cats, right?
Yeah, it's a cat movie, yeah. But, okay, so really, though, I liked the intro. I didn't feel like the sex thing. I think I felt how Batman felt about it, like, oh, that was a mistake, but not like, oh, you writers shouldn't have written that, like, oh no, you characters shouldn't have done that, you know. But I understand how it could have happened, you know. You have these heightened circumstances that you're always in, and so you have these misplaced emotions, and you know, one thing could kind of just lead to one thing or another, you know.
I think it was the writer's attempt, and I think successful attempt, of humanizing Batman. I mean, Barbara Gordon's
also
always been a little bit more humanized than the other.
Giving more, I mean, Batman to me has always been kind of humanized for 100 different reasons, but I think this put the stakes a little more like how much he cares for Barbara, you know. And not just like cares for her so much he didn't even want her to do it anymore.
You see, Bruce Wayne to me has always been somewhat human, but I think this gave him more emotions than normal. This actually showed the side of Batman I don't think you got to see, was how much he actually cares.
Well, Bruce Wayne, Batman, because I always thought that Bruce Wayne was his alter ego.
Bingo.
He cares so much and knows so much about himself that he knows that in order to protect her, he can't be with her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So I'm going to put this out here. To me, this is a straight 5 out of 5. This was very entertaining. There was no parts of this movie that were slow. Obviously, some people who are not a fan of this or the gothic noir-esque of this, to me, this was spot on. This was almost as perfect as I think you can get a Batman story without going one way or another. What do you think, James?
I get what you're saying, but I don't know. For me, I don't know. There was just something didn't feel, like, I don't know, spot on for me. I think that, I mean, you pick the best characters and everything like that, but I think, I don't know, there was just
the
something off about the Joker for me.
Because he wasn't
in this
turned
one.
Up to 11 like he was in the cartoon when
Wait,
we were
the
kids.
The Joker?
Yeah, because this was a more turned down Joker. This is the psychotic Joker, but humanized, not just the insanity.
Yeah, I think that was really what it was for me, why it didn't just pop out at me, because as far as I'm concerned, is when the Joker is the Joker, he's straight out psychotic,
so
and doesn't care. And I feel like there was a little bit more of a tame, more
I think more of a methodical, like he had this thing really planned out for an end game that he was trying to get to.
I think the flashbacks,
more serious Joker is really what I want to kind of say.
I would say I think the flashbacks for me kind of toned it down, because if you didn't have the flashbacks, I think this would have showed the more maniacal, psychotic nature. But the flashbacks, I think, added enough tone to it that I think it toned it down. To me, it did.
I could see that. And then the other one that kind of bothered me was Gordon. Gordon, even before the Joker kidnapped him, I think that Gordon wasn't Gordon for me. He wasn't as...
badass.
Yeah, wasn't as badass. Whoa. It seemed like he had...
So what's your rating?
Things going on. So those were the two dings for me that weren't perfect for me. But it's still a 4 out of 5. I mean, this is strong 4 for me, at least.
Ryan?
Okay, so as far as the second half, the Killing Joke half, they nailed it. I mean, they almost did it panel for panel.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, go pick up the book and flip through it, and it's like watching the movie.
I'll go read John and the Homicide Man.
So they definitely got the 5 out of 5 on that part. And I think the Gordon that they were going for was the Gordon from the Killing Joke. You know what I mean? Not necessarily from the animated features or things like that, which is kind of what our minds are comparing it to. But just based on the source material, amazing. Now, only judging sort of the first part, I mean, really 5 out of 5 there too. I mean, I thought they did an amazing job. I mean, yeah, sure. It the thing happened. It weirded some people out. The naysayers can kind of kiss my ass on this one. I mean, I thought they did an absolutely amazing job.
So what's your, so 5 out of 5?
Five, yeah. I mean, 10 out of 10 if you want to split it in half.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page, and we now have a challenge for you. Is there a movie that you want us to review? Go to facebook.com/realflixreviews. Leave a comment. We might do your movie. The other thing is we do now have an audio podcast. We're on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more. Make sure you subscribe and listen. So this is the part of the show where we do movie news. And does anybody have any movie news?
You know, I had some. Now, what did you guys think of... We haven't done any of them. But the old musicals. Well,
like which musicals? Like
I'm talking like
the
old ones from, you know, like Fiddler on the Roof, those types of things, and even throwing in like Mary Poppins and stuff like
Mary
that.
Mary Poppins, I liked. I wouldn't necessarily consider that a classic musical, especially if you're gonna go for the
Sound
Disney
of Music
movie.
Was the other one I was trying to think.
Because Disney, that's Disney's thing. Sound of Music, I liked, even though I'm not a big fan of it now because I've seen it too much.
So,
yeah, like Sound of Music. I dug me some Fiddler, though.
So, would you guys be interested in watching a new, updated kind of version of Mary Poppins? Still set in the near Depression era of London, but
absolutely not.
Especially with Emily Blunt. You sure? Emily Blunt doesn't.
I'm
doesn't
sorry,
go
if
for
it doesn't have fucking Dick Van Dyke in it, it's not Mary Poppins.
Well, I think they got. Just looked at the guy's name. Oh, I forget. Lin-Manuel Miranda, I guess, is playing Jack. So that would be that version. But I don't think it's going to fly, even though I've seen some movies that are coming out now that are trying to bring kids back into the musical age of that type of thing. Of what, the Descendants is the most recent one that they did?
I'm sorry. If it doesn't have the original cast, it's not Mary Poppins.
You know, like 90% of the original cast is dead, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Same with Ghostbusters.
Dick Van Dyke still out there chanting his ass off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, look, I'm definitely not one of those peers when it comes to cast. I understand if you're remaking a movie, you can't have the original cast most of the time, especially when the movie was made in like the 30s.
Yeah, John.
John, Jesus. But that being said... This is a movie that wasn't broke. I mean, it doesn't need to be updated if you're still going to make it in the same time frame. You know, it doesn't need any more special effects. Matter of fact, I think the special effects back then are just as mesmerizing today.
Yeah, I've actually saw some of them, and they're still pretty good for what they did.
Here's the reason why I don't think this should be remade is they're going to break it.
They're going to break it. They're going to add, like, kitschy bullshit.
And I think they should leave it alone.
Don't they still sell like a couple hundred thousand copies of this shit a year?
Yes,
like,
probably.
Are they really still not making money on Mary Poppins?
The question is, it going to be Disney?
Well, of course it's going to be Disney.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Disney will ever let this one go.
I do want to switch to a little bit of sadder news. Is Kenny Baker passed away over the weekend?
Who the hell is Kenny Baker?
R2-D2.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't know that?
I'm sorry, I was still angry from before. I came out wrong.
He was also in Time Bandits and other movies. Even though you didn't know who he was, the fact that, you know, he died, and the fact he was in almost everybody's favorite movie, the first one.
Yeah.
I'm really sad about that.
Yeah, I mean, he was... I think he did great for all the stuff that he did, even though, I mean, he didn't have very many talking roles, but, you know.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, I think him and you know, like Anthony Daniels, maybe Anthony Daniels a little more, because, you know, he was just, you know, he was also the voice, but Kenny Baker?
Yeah.
Was it? That should have been just like a no-name part, you know, back when they didn't think this movie was going to be what it was. I mean, yeah. I think for that dude, just a guy in a trash can, basically, you know, kind of like got elevated to this almost godlike level, you know, amongst all of his fans, you know, and I think that's a huge, huge win for that dude, who otherwise, I mean, if the movie kind of did what they were expecting, would have just been, you know, like an extra, you know. Yeah.
And
but I'm sure this dude went to 1,000 Comic-Cons and, you know, shook 1,000 hands of people who were enamored with that dude being in that trash can.
And have 1,000,000 photographs of people paid $20 a piece for.
I mean, sure. But I mean, but that's the fans want to see him. And that's, I think, something amazing for that small of a character. No pun intended. Seriously.
Oh, and in the pile of holy crap, where do they find him? Brendan Fraser is back in Indian drama The Field. The mummy actor plays expat gunrunner in a bilingual thriller. I'm legitimately surprised he's back.
I'm good with Brendan Fraser. What was wrong with Brendan Fraser?
The problem with him is he
Monkey
was
Bone.
He was in a couple of movies that killed him.
Monkey Bone.
That killed his career, plus the fact that apparently he pulled a little bit of a diva act in some of his previous movies he did.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that. George of the Jungle cannot be a diva.
Right?
Neither can Monkey Bone. Neither can, you know...
Monkey Bone I put on the same thing as Cool World.
Man.
They're on the same page in my book.
Throw them babies, kids.
I've seen Monkey Bone, and I'll tell you what, I have nightmares about Cool World still.
Yeah, I have nightmares about Monkey Bone.
See, I saw Cool World as a kid, and I thought it was a great cartoon. It wasn't until older until I realized how bad it was. And yes, I was a kid when I saw it. So I had a question. Since we're going to be possibly seeing this movie next week, Jared Leto wants to be... to keep playing the Joker so he can battle with Ben Affleck's Batman. Now, my first thought is this is too close to the previous one, the Joker versus Batman. What do you think?
Are we doing Suicide Squad for next week's show?
Don't know yet. We haven't decided.
I think so.
Because if we are, I'm going to hold my friggin' tongue on this one.
Yeah, I would say hold your tongue on this one because he's already seen Suicide Squad. John and I are going to watch it soon. I almost think that Ben Affleck's Batman was on such a different type than Nolan's and Bale's Batman.
You mean because his Batman's a serial killer?
Well, I wasn't getting into that. Yeah, well, I would not be completely adverse to it, but I wouldn't be excited for it. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense.
So, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, you guys can't do that, but if they're trying to compare the same or try to go the same route as Ledger and Bale did, I think you guys are just setting yourself up for failure, just like Batman versus Superman failure.
And... I just completely agree. Kind of, and with that being that said, there, we skipped the television pick, so we're going to go into Ray Donovan. We didn't talk about it.
Oh, I had one.
No, well, we didn't talk about this week's pick.
I was saying I have one for this week.
No, that we haven't talked about it yet. Ray Donovan?
Right.
So do you, not everybody
watch
it?
Are you saying that we're not picking a movie for next, or a TV show for next week?
No, we are, but we haven't talked about this week's pick.
Okay, yes, we have not. Sorry, John was being psychotic.
Well, now we've got to that, shit.
Anyways.
What? Okay, so over to you,
so,
James.
So, Ray Donovan, this has been a TV show I've been wanting to watch and see if I'm going to like it or anything. You know, I actually enjoyed it. I think it was slow at times, but I think what they're setting up for, and I mean, I just looked and they just got renewed for season 5, 12 episodes.
He reminds me of the wolf from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, kind of.
That's basically his job.
Definitely is his type of character.
Because that was the first thing I'm watching, and it's like they need to have John Travolta in an episode.
But man, I mean, okay, just unbelievable casting with John Voight, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like John Voight.
And it's been a while since I've liked John Voight, so this was really cool.
Yeah, and I also like Liev Schreiber, who is playing Ray Donovan.
Wow, Liev Schreiber.
How could you not like him, though?
Well, I didn't like him as Sabretooth.
Yeah, but that's
just
every.
I'd putting say, that out there.
I would say Sabretooth every
character was a bit of a stretch, but yeah. I've liked Liev Schreiber from a lot of different things.
Yeah, but I mean, I wasn't a fan of his. I mean, it wasn't. He didn't like destroy the character and how the character acts. He just didn't fit the role. Does that? You
yeah,
know?
But I mean, this guy, he's in such amazing movies. I don't think I've seen. I've only seen a few of his movies that I legitimately just didn't like. Almost every movie I've seen him in, I've liked. And maybe not the movie, but his character.
Okay. I could see that. I mean, I was a big fan of him in Defiance and things like that. And, you know, but, yeah, so I have always enjoyed him. I mean, this, for me, isn't really out of his range as an actor. I think it fits him very well.
This almost seems like his normal character, almost.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's not anywhere near out of his range as an actor. So, you know, I like that. I mean, there's quite a bit of slow stuff in this, but it sets the stage for, you know, you getting to understand what his character is about, what his job is, his love life, all that stuff. So I think the way that they introduced it, they did a great job of introducing this character and those around him. So,
no,
I think
agree.
It's worth a watch.
I'd be interested to see how this, I don't know if I'm going to have time to watch more, but I'd be interested to see how his character changes over time.
I'll tell you what, I'm a few episodes in so far, maybe 4 or 5. It's definitely worth a follow-up. I've had a friend of mine who's been trying to talk me into watch this for a long time, and he's, you know, current with the show.
Hmm.
And, yeah, man, I'm in. I think everything I find out about this dude's world, it gets kind of a little more intriguing. And it seems like they got a while to go before they jumped the shark on this one. So.
Yeah. That Calabasas is not that bad, guys.
That being said.
Gotta say.
That being said, we're gonna switch over to next week's pick, which is our theater pick. And well, we kind of gave away the ghost a little bit. We're gonna pick Suicide Squad.
Yep.
And anybody have a TV pick?
I think we already kind of talked about that. Yes. Zoo.
What?
Zoo.
Zoo.
Yep.
That
the hell is that?
Yeah.
It's a TV show.
Okay. We're
I narrowed it down.
I guess we're going to be doing a TV show I've never heard of. Zoo.
Yep.
All right, go track that down on whatever random website it is, folks.
Or YouTube, Hulu. The dude, fuck did you find a show?
It's a network show. It's on CBS. Prime. It's an alphabet channeled show.
Jeez.
Jesus, guys.
Wow, you just pulled that out of left field. We're going to do one named Zoo.
Yeah.
You know what? It makes sense after he said alphabet channels because I don't watch that shit hardly ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, I couldn't tell you the last time I watched ABC. Oh, actually, I do. They canceled Numbers. It was the last time I watched it.
I actually do think you guys are right. This is the first TV show we've done that's a network show.
Well, we've picked ones that used to be. We've picked ones that used to be network shows.
Yeah, long time ago.
Not currently are. Damn. So I gave the movie The Killing Joke a 5 out of 5. James gave it a 4 to 5. Oh. Ryan gave it a 5 out of 5. Next week we're doing Suicide Squad and The Zoo.
No, not The Zoo. Zoo.
Okay, Zoo.
The Zoo is something else.
Okay, and as always, thank you for watching. ¶¶